she introduced herself as the Immaculate Conception. Not, I am a product of the Immaculate Conception, nor was I conceived immaculately, but I am the Immaculate Conception. But she identified by that reality, that moment in which she was immaculately conceived, prevenient grace. Listen at the following prayers in Mass. Prevenient. It's the grace of the crucifixion and the resurrection, but happening beforehand. Obviously, time and all of this gets a little messy. That's the way it is. I am the Immaculate Conception, the prevenient grace. What does all that necessarily mean for us? I'm not entirely sure. But I leave that for you to speculate on. Speculative theology is the form in which we look at and ponder the possibilities. Doesn't mean that there are certainties, but it allows our imagination, our God-given imagination, to begin to wonder certain questions. And there are two questions that I would like to ponder this evening with you. One question is, what exactly was the sin in the garden? We know they disobeyed God, but what particular sin were Adam and Eve guilty of? The second is, why is the Immaculate Conception even necessary? What does it say about our relationship with one another? Both of them end up fitting very closely together. And at any point, if you feel yourself just like, what? Then you can leave your jaw like hanging open because I can't even see. So if you're just like, then you'll find yourself exactly where I was a couple months ago. Because a lot of what I'm about to talk about is a product of my time at the Theology of the Body Institute and the Marian Mystery, where we spent quite a bit of time talking about the Immaculate Conception. Again, this is speculative. There's nothing concrete that says that what I'm about to say is church doctrine. But there's a theory working its way around those heady theologians about what that sin was in the garden. What was it that they were after? What good were they looking for when they disobeyed God? We don't believe that this story took place moment by moment exactly like it's portrayed in Scripture historically. But we do, as Catholics, believe that there is a lot here in this story, both in metaphor and symbology and morality, all kind of mixed in there. What were they looking for? When we sin, we are looking for something that is good. There's a lot to be said for how addictive certain things are in our lives. They didn't have sugar. They didn't have alcohol. They didn't have drugs. They didn't have technology. They didn't have a lot of things. But what they did have was each other. The speculation is that the first sin, the very first sin, the looking for good by means of doing evil, which is what God does not ask us to do, the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is looking for a good by doing evil. The evil that they were after, with the good that they were after, was one another. Union with one another. God-given they were avoiding or entering into so that they could avoid the fullness of the good. See how complicated this gets when you speculate? The point being is maybe contraception was the very first sin. The desire to enter into the marital union without the possibility of children. Entering into the pleasure of that God-given good reality without the possibility of it fulfilling itself in the conception of children. We talk about conception all over the place at this time. We have the conception of Christ. And at the very same time, the angel is talking about the conception of John the Baptist. We here are talking about the conception of Mary. All of that gets very physical. But at the same time, it almost feels like God is pulling us towards the answer is there. The answer is there in the conception. And what does that tell us, possibly, about the first sin? For the conception of Mary, the conception of Jesus, the conception of John the Baptist were all part of the plan to help us recover grace from that fall. What better way than through a conception to heal the wounds of contraception? Now, again, if your jaw is just like, maybe, just sit with it for a while. Allow that idea to percolate in your mind. We go deeper. The second question, why is it that the Immaculate Conception is so necessary? What was its point in salvation history? We know that we believe in the Immaculate Conception because it paved the way for the perfect dwelling for Christ. That Mary was without stain of sin. She was out without original sin itself. Original sin, the sin of contraception. She was without that at all. And so we believe that God was preparing that ark, that tabernacle, that dwelling place of God perfectly. This is where my jaw hit the floor. But how was that obtained? How was the Immaculate Conception obtained? We believe the names of Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna. Is it that God just entered into that union and said, I'm going to fix your messiness and prevent sin from entering into Mary at her conception? Or is it possible that even by an extra special grace, their union with one another was perfect? Maybe not always. I'm not saying that Joachim and Anne were born without sin. But maybe, just maybe, they entered into the marital union perfectly, without vice, without lust, without a desire to use the other, perfectly entering into that union. And Mary was conceived. What? Huh? If you're like me, you're exactly where I was. And I just sat there. What? And then I raised my hand. And I said, well then, how far back does this have to go? We get to Mary's conception by looking at the moral state of Joachim and Anne and their union with one another. Well, what prepared them? We're talking about Mary being prepared to carry Jesus. What prepared Joachim and Anne? And I answered the question myself. It all plays in. It all plays in. The birth and conception of Joachim and Anne from human parents, the desire to enter fully into that union. Down through the ages. We know the genealogy of Christ. We know that the genealogy of Christ is full of ups and downs and good people and not so good people. We suspect, rightfully so, that the genealogy of Mary would be full of the same kind of people. Some better than others, some more moral than others. And yet through each of those consecutive generations, God was working. In the way in which that first sin intended to prevent. Well, this has great meaning for us. This has great meaning for us because God is working amongst us in the midst of our generations, in the midst of our union with one another. It is amazing reality that calls us to recognize that those decisions we make, those decisions for good or for evil, are little ways in which God is working in the world. Prevenient grace came down and prevented Mary from suffering the stain of sin. But all of us are receiving God's grace to be able to encounter one another, to love one another, and to not use one another. Let us beseech the Immaculate Conception to help us in our lives do what she was protected from, to see one another as objects, to see one another as available use for our own pleasure. In so many ways, this is the reality of our world. The Immaculate